بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، إنه من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد، brothers and sisters in Islam, it's hadith number 11 today on the 40 hadith on the call to Islam. From Ibn Abbas, and this hadith talks about that tawheed, basically singling out Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with our deeds. From Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, who said, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent Mu'ad radiallahu anhu to the people of Yemen, he said to him, إِنَّكَ تَقْدِمُ عَلَىٰ قَوْمٍ مِّنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ فَلْيَكُنْ أَوَّلَ مَا تَدْعُوهُمْ إِلَىٰ أَنْ يُوَحِّدُوا اللَّهَ تَعَالَىٰ. فَإِذَا عَرَفُوا ذَلِكَ فَأَخْبِرْهُمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ فَرَضَ عَلَيْهِمْ خَمْسَ صَلَوَاتٍ فِي يَوْمِهِمْ وَلَيْلَتِهِمْ. فَإِذَا صَلُّوا فأخبرهم أن الله افترض عليهم زكاة، زكاة أموالهم تؤخذ من غنيهم فترد على فقيرهم. فإذا أقروا بذلك فخذ منهم وتوقى كرائم أموال الناس. Reported by Bukhari and Muslim. The meaning in English, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, when he sent Mu'ad to Yemen, he told him, you are going to a nation from the people of the book. So let the first thing that you call them to be that they should make all worship solely for Allah, the Most High. So if they realize that, then inform them that Allah has obligated upon them 5 prayers in the day and the night. If they pray, then inform them that Allah has obligated upon them zakat from their wealth to be taken from their rich and giving to the poor. If they accept that, then take it from them, but avoid the best part of the people's property. This hadith, which is, as I said, in Bukhari and Muslim. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he sent Mu'ad to Yemen. And he told Mu'ad, oh Mu'ad, by Allah I love you. إِنِّي أُحِبُّكَ. And maybe you will not see me again, O Mu'adh. He told him that. And indeed, Mu'adh didn't see the Prophet ﷺ. And why did the Prophet ﷺ choose Mu'adh? Because Mu'adh is one of the most learned men. As the Prophet ﷺ said, the most learned one among you regarding halal and haram is Mu'adh ibn Jabal. Mu'adh ibn Jabal, the Prophet ﷺ says that he will be leading the scholars on the day of resurrection. On the day of judgment, when the scholars will come to the Jannah, Mu'adh is leading all the scholars. All the scholars of the Muslim Ummah are behind Mu'adh ibn Jabal, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So no wonder the Prophet ﷺ chose him. So he sent him. So the Prophet ﷺ, he chose the most learned man among the Muslims. The most learned man among the Muslims, among the Sahaba. Because he is sending him to Yemen. And the people of Yemen are people of the scripture. They are Jews and Christians. They read the scriptures. They have knowledge. So they are going to debate, they are going to argue. So you need to send a man who is very qualified and who is very equipped and who is ready for the debates, ready for any confrontation. Because this is the ambassador of Islam, and every ambassador of Islam has to be very strong. Because he's not representing himself, he's representing Islam. Are you following me, brothers and sisters? So he said to him, "You are going to a nation from the people of the book. Those people whom I am sending you to, don't think they are just like the rest of the Arabs. Because the rest of the Arabs in Medina and around Mecca, they are illiterate ones. But those whom I am sending you to, they are people of the scriptures." So, and here the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, brothers and sisters, he sorted out the priorities. He prioritized the task of Mu'adh. He sorted out the priorities, which one should come before the other. So he sorted out the priorities for Mu'adh. So prioritize all the tasks. So the first thing you should do, O Mu'adh, is to call them towards the belief in the oneness of the Almighty Allah. The oneness of God, the Tawheed, singling out Allah, worshipping none but Allah. This is the cornerstone. No da'i should overlook or ignore this point. This is the starting point. And this is what our Ummah should start from. The Tawheed. Allah created us for the Tawheed, and He sent the Prophets for the Tawheed. The Prophets died for the Tawheed. Everything for the Tawheed. Singling out Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For that very purpose He created us. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I have created jinn and mankind. What for? Only to worship me. To single me out with all their deeds. That they should not worship anyone but me alone. They should not associate any partner with me. So, the first thing that you should call them to, and this is what we have to concentrate on when we are doing the da'wah to the non-Muslims. We should not waste our times. If you are arguing with a Christian, don't waste your time. Concentrate on one point, the Tawheed, the oneness of the Almighty, the unity. If he accepts the unity, then all his belief crumbles down. Because that doctrine, his doctrine, is what? Trinity, not unity. And you can tell him from his scripture, God is not a man. That's what the Bible says. God is not a man. Jesus is a man. Therefore, Jesus is not God. That's simple. Jesus is a man. God is not a man. That's what the Bible says. So we have to concentrate on the Tawheed. So here the Prophet ﷺ is saying that you, Mu'adh, should ask them and call them to the Tawheed, to the belief in the oneness of Allah. So that's the first thing that you call them to, that they should make all worship single out Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with all acts of worship, and offer them only to Allah, exclusively to Allah. the Most High. Then, if they accept this, alhamdulillah. So they accepted the Tawheed now. They accepted the Tawheed. Fine. Then you move to the second step. You don't go to the second step before the first one. You remain there till they accept the Tawheed. Once they accept the Tawheed, now, what is next? So if they realize that, then inform them that Allah has obligated upon them 5 prayers in the day and the night. Then the Salah. Then the Salah. How many thousands of Muslims they don't pray? I'm saying thousands, maybe millions. They don't pray. They have deserted the Salah. Though the Prophet ﷺ made it clear, إِنَّ الْعَهْدَ الَّذِي بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَهُمُ الصَّلَاةِ فَمَنْ تَرَكَهَا فَقَدْ كَفَرْ. Verily the dividing line between Islam, the Iman, and the Islam, and apostasy, and blasphemy, is what? The Salah. If you don't pray, then you are not a Muslim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran what the angels will tell those who do not pray when they are in the hellfire, rebuking them, asking them sarcastically, ما سلككم في سقر قالوا لم نك من المصلين. ما سلككم في سقر. The angels, they question them ironically, sarcastically, what brought you here into the hellfire? ما سلككم في سقر. Saqar is one of the names of the hellfire. Jahannam has many names. Saqar, Jahannam, Al-Hutama, many names. So the angels, they say, what brought you here into hell? مَا سَلَكَكُمْ فِي سَقَرْ. And the answer they would give, لَمْ نَكُمْ مِنَ الْمُصَلِّينَ. We were not praying. We were not praying. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ. Woe to those who what? Delay their prayers. They pray, but they delay it. They don't pray on time. They keep delaying their salah. So Allah is saying, woe to them, woe to them. Imagine those who do not pray. So the Salah is the only ibadah that was imposed upon the Prophet ﷺ in heaven. He was taken into heaven, the Prophet ﷺ. He was taken into the Sama on the night of ascension, and it was given to him there. So that you appreciate its significance, that this ritual has been imposed upon the Prophet ﷺ in heaven. The Prophet ﷺ, prior his death, few minutes prior to his death, he was saying what? As-salatu as-salah. وَمَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانِكُمْ. Your prayers and take care of those who are under your right hand possess. And the last thing he did, he looked to the Muslims. That's the farewell look the Prophet ﷺ gave. The farewell look to the Ummah when they were in the Salah. He opened the curtain and he looked to the congregation, then he closed the curtain. That was the last look from the Prophet ﷺ to his Ummah. And he felt happy because he saw them all in the congregation and rose behind their imams. And yet, you find many Muslims, they don't pray. And they claim Islam. So here, the Prophet ﷺ, is this clear to everyone? So the Prophet ﷺ told Mu'adh, if they accepted the Tawheed, after the Tawheed, the Salah. Tell them that there are five prayers. The Fard. Five prayers in the day and the night. Because after the Tawheed, you need to stand. You need to manifest. You need to exhibit your servitude. How can you exhibit this servitude and this ubudiyah and show it? You have to show it in your humility and humbleness by bowing and prostrating before your Lord. This is the practical manifestation of that Tawheed, the Salah. You stand before your Lord, you raise your hands, and you put them on your chest like a prisoner, lowering your head down in humility, then you bow, and then you place the highest point in your body, your forehead, on the ground. And you praise the Lord. Glory be to Allah. Glory be to you, O Allah, the Most High. I'm the lowest, you are the Most High. Glory be to you. That shows that you are a real servant of Allah. If you don't do that, and then you claim you are a servant? No, he cannot. Prove that you are a servant by placing your forehead on the ground. The Salah. This Salah is the spiritual communication with Allah. This is how you communicate with your Rabb. You want to talk to Allah? Read His book. You want to communicate? Pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet ﷺ said what? أَقْرَبْ مَا يَكُونُ الْعَبْدُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ وَهُوَ سَاجِدْ. The closest the devotee or the servant or the slave can be to his Lord when he or she is in his prostration or in her prostration, in her sujood or in his sujood. In that position, you are very close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The closest you can be to Allah. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that if you prostrate one sajda, one prostration, one unit, Allah will elevate your status in the Jannah. And the more you prostrate, and the more you pray, and the more you get closer, the closer you get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You want to get closer to Allah? You want Allah to elevate your status? Worship Him more, prostrate more. Allah will elevate your status. You want Allah to elevate our status as Ummah? You want Allah to lift this humiliation? Let us prostrate. Let us exhibit that servitude. Let's ask no one but Him. Worship no one but Him. Glorify no one but Him. Fear no one but Him. And you will see. The Salah, brothers and sisters, It is something we have neglected, something we have forgotten, that this is the key, this is the key to communicate with Allah. In one of the battles, and I think it is Muhammad ibn al-Qasim who opened the land of Sindh, he was looking for one of the Salaf. Shall I remember his name? Before the battle started, he said, "Go and fetch for this person. I want him." And they found him at the end, at the back of the army, behind the army, sitting, praying to Allah and raising his index finger. When he finished, they brought him to the Amir. Said, "What were you doing?" He said, "Oh Amir, I was paving the way. I was clearing the way for the victory." And he said, "Yes, I know. That index finger, by Allah, to me, is better than thousands of fighters and soldiers, the Mujahideen. That only index finger. Because this man, he knows how to communicate. And he knows how to supplicate. And he knows how to invoke Allah's support and help." The Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith, "إنما تنصرون بفقرائكم وضعفائكم." That indeed Allah grants you victory by the supplication of the poor ones among you and the destitute. Those the weak, the poor, the needy. Allah, because of their dua, Allah grants you victory and gives you victory. So the salah, brothers and sisters, the salah. So inform them that Allah impose upon them 5 prayers in the day and the night. The salah, what the Prophet ﷺ said, you know, everyone knows that hadith, command your children to pray when they reach the age of 7, and beat them when they reach the age of 10, and do not let them sleep together. Everyone knows this hadith. The salah. How many Muslims in the West, they combine their prayers? And some they combine Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib and Isha. Why? I had no time. I was busy. No place in the office. All the lame excuses you can hear, they give. They don't allow me to go to pray. You pray in the office. But if there is no room in the office, in the corridor, anywhere, you'll find a room. In the open! But don't miss your salah. They will sack me. Dismiss me. So what? Who's the provider? Who's the Razzaq? The job or Allah? As a matter of fact, you have to make it clear in the beginning that I have to pray when it is time for prayers. After that, the Prophet ﷺ then told him, if they pray, then inform them something else. If they pray, then inform them that Allah has obligated upon them zakah. Zakah, and this zakah has to be taken from the rich and given to the poor. In the same area, in the same country, in the same place. And this is the philosophy of Islam. This is how Islam solved this problem, the financial problem, which is the poverty problem. Poverty is an issue. It's a problem. How many millions are dying in Africa? Millions of human beings are dying in Africa because of hunger. And the rich countries are watching. And some countries, they dump tons and thousands of tons of wheat into the ocean to keep the price of the wheat high. They dump it into the ocean and they don't give it to the human beings. While the human beings are dying in Africa. Islam said, no way. That is not. That's not Islamic. Islam says, Wallahi la yu'min. Wallahi la yu'min. Wallahi la yu'min man bata wajaruhu ja'i'un wa huwa ya'lam. He's not a mu'min. He's not a true believer. The one who sleeps while knowing that his neighbor is hungry. Islam saying that you are not a mu'min. It is a sin in Islam. If your neighbor, whether he is a Muslim or non-Muslim, and you know he is hungry, and you sleep peacefully, then you have no iman in your heart. This is what Islam is teaching us. But see what is happening. So Islam solved this problem by imposing upon the rich and take from their wealth 2.5%, and this wealth, this zakah, has to go to the poor. And by doing so, Islam has removed the seed of hatred from the hearts of the poor class. The poor class, they will not hate the rich class. Why? Because they say, you know, whatever amount of money they make or profits, at the end of the day, 2.5% will come to us. So as a matter of fact, let us pray for them. They will not hate you. But if you are sucking their blood, and even the rich countries, if they want to give the poor countries a loan, they give them at very exorbitant rate of interest. All what they call them the third world countries are in debt for the International Bank or IMF, International Monetary Fund. Countries. They give you the loan and they know you will not be able to pay on time. They know that. And immediately the counter will start to count. Compound interest. And you will never come out of that vicious circle of riba. This is what is happening to the poor countries. Is this clear to you, brothers and sisters? So Islam came with a pragmatic, practical solution for the problem of poverty and solved it. Inform them that Allah has imposed upon them zakah. And see the beautiful name, zakah. Zakah means increment. Zakah means purity. So Allah called it, because naturally, man, by default, loves wealth. So if you tell me gift of 2.5%, I have to think, what will I get in return? This is the human mind works. So Allah called it zakah. That if I give 2.5%, it is going to increase. My wealth is not going to decrease, it's going to increase. That's number one. Number two, it is also a means of purifying you. Purifying yourself from greediness, from selfishness, all these ills. By giving the zakah, these ills are eradicated, uprooted. So the zakah does that to you. Jazakallah khair. Abu Abd Rahman reminded me that Muhammad ibn Wasa, yes, when they were Muslims, they were trying to open Kabul. Muhammad ibn Wasa and Muhammad ibn al-Qasim. So, Qutaybah ibn Muslim and Muhammad ibn Wasa. So Muhammad ibn Wasa, by just raising that index finger, he was paving the way for the Nasr. As the Nasr is coming down from Allah, and he is clearing the way for the Nasr to land. And the Ummah is in need for many Muhammad ibn Wasa. As Allah Azza wa Jalla yamunna alayna بأمثاله وما ذلك على الله بعزيز ولن تخلو الأمة من مثل محمد بن واسع ولا شك أن هذه الأنفس these pious people in this ummah shedding the tears at night and raising their hands and crying to Allah because of their supplications Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is protecting the ummah. As a cause, of course. So the zakah to be taken from the rich, to be taken from the rich and given to the poor. Then he told him, if they accept that, O Mu'adh, the people of Yemen, they accepted, mashallah, the tawheed, they accepted the salah, they accepted the zakah, and they, all these things they accepted. By the way, the people of Yemen, they accepted the risala with no fight. They didn't fight. Their governor was, Yemen was ruled by the Persians, and the governor was Badan, and when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent letters to the Muqawqas, the ruler of Egypt, and to Hercules of the Romans, and to the Emperor of Persia. The Emperor of Persia, what he did, he tore the letter of the Prophet ﷺ and he killed the messenger. And this is against the diplomatic protocols. international protocols, you don't kill the ambassador or the messenger. But that's what he did. When the news reached the Prophet ﷺ, he asked Allah to tear his kingdom. He said, "Oh Allah, tear his kingdom apart." And that's what happened. His kingdom, the Persian kingdom, empire, was torn apart. And what he did, this emperor, he sent a letter to his governor in Yemen. See the arrogance. He said, "This guy in Medina, he sent me a letter and he didn't know how to address me. I want you to bring him to me, dead or alive. I want you to send two strong men and to bring him to me." See the arrogance? See the arrogance? Very arrogant. And the governor, that's what he did. This is a royal decree from the emperor. So he sent two strong Persian men to Medina. To whom? To bring the Prophet ﷺ. As if the Prophet ﷺ just like a lamb, you can catch him. They didn't know that he was surrounded by lions, and they didn't know that he is protected by Allah. When those two Persian men reached Medina, immediately Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiallahu anhu, whom the Prophet ﷺ said, "لو كان بعدي نبي لكان عمر." Had there been a prophet to come after me, it would be Umar. Umar radiallahu anhu, Umar radiallahu anhu was one of those mulhameen, inspired, whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them the intuition and the vision. They have this vision, so he felt something in his heart, so he grabbed those two men. And he pulled out his sword and he drove them. They came to bring the Prophet ﷺ. Now they are caught and they are driven to the Prophet ﷺ just like sheep. Now they are in the grip of Umar radiallahu anhu. The Prophet ﷺ, when he saw them, he looked at them, and those two men, they shaved them their beards. They had shaved their beards and they had grown their mustaches. So the Prophet ﷺ immediately, he turned his face away. And he told them, "Who commanded you? Who told you to shave your beards?" They said, "Our Lord." They meant the emperor, "Our Lord." The Prophet ﷺ told them, "Well, my Lord commanded me to trim my mustache and to spare and to grow my beard. And now go to the governor and tell him that my Lord killed his Lord last night. You came to take me to him. My Lord already killed him. Allah killed him. My Lord killed your Lord last night. Go, tell the governor." They went back to Yemen. They reported what the Prophet ﷺ told them. And Badan was a wise man. He said, "Fine. Now the man, this, if he's a prophet, it will be true. If he's not a prophet, he put all his eggs in one basket. Let us wait." And the news arrived from Persia. Bad news. What happened? The emperor was assassinated. And his daughter was appointed as his successor. And the Prophet ﷺ said, by the way, when he told them this, and they appointed his daughter, and no nation will succeed if they are ruled by a woman. مَا أَفْلَحَ قَوْمٌ وَلَّوْ أَمْرَهُمْ إِمْرَأَةٌ. No people will prosper and succeed if they are ruled by a woman. Okay? That's what the Prophet ﷺ said. And the news reached Yemen. So, by then he became a Muslim. The people of Yemen became Muslims. Because they realized this is the true prophet, the true prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whom the scripture already talked about. So, towards the end, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to Mu'ad, they have accepted Tawheed and the Salah and the Zakah, then please don't do one thing. I want you to take care of it. If they accept that, then take it from them. But avoid the best part of the people's property. Don't take the best, when you are taking the zakah, don't go and take the best of their property. No. Take the average, medium. But if the owner willingly comes and say, from the livestock, this is the best cow. Islamically, I'm not allowed to choose or to pick the best cow. I'm not. You have to take one from the average, medium. But if the owner, willingly, he says, I want to give this, then I will take it. No problem. Because he is giving it willingly. If he gives the best cow, the best camel, etc. So, this beautiful hadith, the Prophet ﷺ has ranked the priorities for Mu'adh radiallahu anhu. Is this hadith clear to you before we proceed to the next hadith? Okay, hadith number 12. Following Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this is what we'd call it followership, ittiba. And this is the meaning of Muhammad Rasulullah. Muhammad Rasulullah, La ilaha illallah means La ma'buda bihaq illallah. La ilaha illallah means there is no one worthy of being worshipped except Allah. Muhammad Rasulullah means La matbu'a bihaq illa Rasulullah. No one is worthy of being followed but Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imam Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah said, he is talking about this particular type of tawheed in his Nuniyah. Nuniyah is a poem by Ibn Qayyim. Is around more than 1,000 poetic verses. He summarized the belief of Ahlul Sunnah. He said there, فَلِوَاحِدٍ كُنْ وَاحِدًا فِي وَاحِدٍ فَلِوَاحِدٍ كُنْ وَاحِدًا فِي وَاحِدٍ أَعْنِي طَرِيقَ الْحَقِّ وَالْإِيمَانِ فَلِوَاحِدٍ كُنْ وَاحِدًا فِي وَاحِدٍ أَعْنِي طَرِيقَ الْحَقِّ وَالْإِيمَانِ For one, be one in one. I mean, the way of Iman. For one, that is Allah. For one, that means Allah. Be one, that means be a monotheist. Be muwahid. In one, in the way of the Prophet ﷺ, أعني طريق الحق والإيمان, I mean the way of the truth and the way of Iman. For one, be one in one. I mean the way of the truth and Iman. So, in this hadith, from Jabir radiallahu anhu reported and said, كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم إذا خطب احمرت عيناه وعلى صوته واشتد غضبه حتى كأنه منذر الجيش، يقول صبحكم ومساكم، ويقول بعثت أنا والساعة كهاتين، ويقرن بين أصبعيه السبابة والوسطى، ويقول أما بعد فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدى هدى محمد، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل بدعة ضلالة. The meaning in English. Jabir radiallahu anhu said, when Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave khutbah, the sermon, his eyes became reddened, his voice raised, his anger grew to the extent that it were as if he were one exhorting an army, saying, they will attack you morning and evening. And he would say, I have been sent along with the last hour like these two. And he joined his forefinger and the middle finger. And he would say, to proceed, indeed the best speech is the book of Allah, and the best guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the worst of affairs are the newly invented matters, and every innovation is misguidance. Reported by Muslim. So in this, Jabir radiallahu anhu, he describes to us the way the Prophet ﷺ would give the khutbah. Not like our khutaba nowadays. The khutaba nowadays, they will make you sleep. And many times you see the people really snoring. Because it is so boring. So monotonous. It's not addressing, it's not touching the hearts of the people. And nowadays the khutbah is already tailored and customized. And it is generic one. But see how the Prophet ﷺ gives the khutbah. When Allah's Messenger ﷺ gave the khutbah, his eyes turned red. When your eyes will become red, when you are angry. Your eyes will become red when you are angry. And this is exactly. The Prophet ﷺ, when he gives the khutbah, he gets angry. Why he gets angry? Because he is token from the core, from the bottom of his heart. So he's pouring and he's bringing all his feelings. So his words are so forceful. They move the people. They touch their hearts. Because they are coming from the bottom of his heart, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because he knows what is the reality of this life and what's going to happen to them. He knows that. He said, I am like a man who made a fire, and then the flies and the butterflies started to fall into the fire. And he's trying to keep the flies away. But the flies are falling into the fire. And he's saying, I'm trying to keep you away from the fire, and you are trying to jump into it. You try to jump into the fire. So his eyes, they redden. They become red. His voice will be very high. And this is how the khatib should be. Should wake the people, shake them, let them wake up. We don't want tranquilizers anymore. Enough tranquilizers. The Ummah has been taking tranquilizers for centuries. We need to wake the people. To open the wounds and remove the growth and throw it away and put the right medicine. Because if you're applying a cream on top of the growth to become cancerous, you have to open the wound, remove it, and put the right medicine. It will cure. And sometimes the medicine is so painful, but that is the cure. That is the cure. All this rubbing, putting creams will not solve the problem. We have to address the root causes and address the real issues and say the truth, though it is bitter, though it will hurt. وَعَلَى صَوْتُهُ His voice raised. وَاشْتَدَّ غَضَبُهُ And his anger will intensify. The moment he starts to increase, you can see the escalation and the anger. His anger will start to escalate. حَتَّى كَأَنَّهُ مُنْذِرُ جَيْشِ As if he is warning them. As if he is a warner. Telling them, tomorrow or tonight you will be attacked by an army. An enemy is attacking you. And in those days, if someone saw an army heading towards a town or a village, he would run to inform the people to prepare themselves. And among the Arabs there was a habit. This person who's carrying this bad news, what he would do? He would remove his clothes and he would be screaming and shouting and he would be running towards the town naked. Naked. And he's called Al-Nadhir Al-Uryan. Al-Nadhir Al-Uryan, the naked warner. The Prophet ﷺ actually said in one of the hadith, إِنَّمَا أَنَا النَّذِيرَ الْعُرْيَانِ Verily I am the naked warner. Because when a person is naked and he's screaming, so it is a real, serious matter. It is a serious matter. And his anger grew to the extent that it were as if he were one exhorting an army saying, they will attack you morning and evening. And he would say, I have been sent along with the last hour like these two. And the Prophet ﷺ, he would tell the people, I have been sent very close to the hour. And he would use the middle finger and the index finger. Very close. And this closeness is relative. If he said that 1400 years ago, now the hour is closer, definitely. Now the hour is closer, definitely. Closer than before. And then he would say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, indeed the best speech is the book of Allah. No doubt. No doubt. The best speech is the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَخَيْرَ الْهُدَى هُدَى مُحَمَّدٍ No guidance better than the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The best guidance is the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If we are seeking guidance elsewhere, we'll go to hell. We'll go astray. If we are really seeking guidance, there is no guidance better than the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Just follow him sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and you will reach your destination, and you will reach the Jannah. And you will meet Allah while He is happy with you. If you start deviating and digressing from his way, of the way of the Prophet, for one be one in one, always remember this, for one be one in one. You see the three ones in one? Okay? This Trinity, but this is Tawheed, okay? So if you want guidance, there is no guidance better than the guidance of the Prophet ﷺ. The best guidance is the guidance of Muhammad ﷺ. وَشَرُّ الْأُمُورِ مُحْدَثَاتُهَا. And the worst of matters, the worst of affairs, are the newly invented matters. The bid'ah, innovations, novelties, and the deen, of course. Because innovations in the dunya, they are halal. But the Muslim, they don't want to innovate in the dunya. They want to innovate in the deen. Allah told them, invent, innovate in the dunya. Say, no, the dunya will leave it for the kuffar. The deen, which is perfect, and Allah wants them to maintain it, and to keep it intact. They said, no. Here, everyone now will invent his own method, his own way. And that is why we went astray. That's why we are humiliated. That's why we are divided. And every innovation is misguidance. Of course it will be misguidance. If you are not following the Prophet ﷺ and you have chosen a way different from the way of the Prophet ﷺ, then of course you will be misguided. Of course you will be landed nowhere. You will land ultimately in Jahannam, عياذا بالله. ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. Anyway, brothers and sisters, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to unite our hearts upon the truth and to keep us upon the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to keep us following his footsteps. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide all the Muslims upon the truth. Ameen. And may Allah reward all of you, brothers and sisters, for your patience and attendance. Barakallahu feekum. جزاكم الله خيرا. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.